But Rooney, you were walking around and you were very noticeable, let's say, in a very intentional way, right? Could you maybe tell us your full name so I'm not getting it wrong, yeah?
So my name is Patruni Chidananda Shastri. It's better to stick with the first name or the last name, you know, because it's a long name. And it's the second time I'm coming to HLF. And the first time was a completely different experience, but the second time it's, you know, even more, it adds up to that kind of culture. It's something which is very own at one or the other point in time. Yeah, that's it.
So would you like to tell us about your performance? About your performance earlier today.
So, today we had a performance which was called as storytelling. You know, it's a part of the storytelling desk which we already have. And I wanted to bring in a kind of a storytelling culture, especially using drag. You know, we talk about drag as a kind of an art form and majorly called it as a Western art form, but I think the West has copied from India. The reason why I say is, like, we have been doing drag since a really long time, and we didn't call it with that particular name. We just called it as a part of the art form. But when we see it as a kind of a performance, that itself is a really completely strong enough to question the gender normative in this particular society. And now the current situation in India is, like, people don't know what is drag is. They can't identify, this particular art as a drag art. And drag is being built in the West with a really, you know, it's given an equal status, just like theatre, dance and music or performance art. However, in India, we still are trying to make or educate people about, okay, this is drag. This is an art form. You take it as an art form. So that's one of the reasons why I picked up this particular topic of using drag as a storytelling, format. And also I bring something which is called as Launda Nach, which is again a similar kind of art form, which is in Bihar, where the person will dress up as a woman and talk about issues and, you know, try to tease the audience whomsoever are there. So I wanted to, bring back that kind of a culture, but with the framework of the, you know, the modern drag, which the West is, or the world is evolving around. So that was the pretty much idea. And I wanted to, you know, present that kind of a look or show it a format that, you know, okay, with drag you can also tell stories of gender and sexuality.
Since you've spoken about drag, so can you tell our listeners that what drag is and how you believe that drag can bring some change in India?
So drag, the proper definition of drag is dress resembling a girl, if that's an abbreviation, or else I call it as dress resembling a gender. Because I don't want to again quote it as a boy or a girl. It's just like any gender you can perform. You are a part of that particular gender system. Traditional drag, a person who is wearing or transforming himself into an exaggerated version of the opposite sex, is called as drag. And this started initially, you know, with the Victorian era, where Shakespeare's, you know, plays where they were being organized. There were no women who were stepping on the stage, so the men were used as a woman. You know, they used to dress up as women and they used to go ahead and, you know, tell stories and become a character. Similarly, when we see it on the Indian parameters as well, we had drag in Kuchipudi or, you know, Bharatanatyam, like all the classical dance forms. Accordingly, we also have in folklores of, you know, folk dance forms, performance art and so on and so forth. And the best part of, when we see it as a context of India especially, every state in India has its own unnurtured art form which was being performed on street. All of them are drag. So there is one missing point which we have lost in the map of art forms in India, and all these missing points are drag. So it's so culturally rich. One drag from one state would not look like the other drag from the other state. But, you know, we don't go ahead and call it as a unique art form, but we are mixing it either with theatre or dance. So that's one of the reasons why, you know, drag has to be evolved. Now, why exactly we are doing drag? You know, drag comes from the culture of performance art, where you do something or certain kind of an action which produces a reaction from the audience. Like the audience as well as the performer are making the art together. drag has been a key initiative in talking about LGBTQI issues, because you know, we always have the body as a kind of metaphor for the world. You know, if you are if your body is of a man, you have to dress like a man. If your body is of a woman, you have to dress like a woman. But drag actually mocks the entire heteronormative society. It just tells you that, you know, if I'm a man or even if I'm a woman, I can be both a man or a woman, or neither or nor. So that's the power of performance, and that's the power of, you know, like any kind of an art form. And that's how I associate with, and I think, you know, it can change. It can make a lot of difference.
So talking about today's performance, what was your costume and makeup inspired from? Where was?
Yeah. So there are different cultures of drag, or I would say different kinds of different styles of drag within India, as I told you earlier, or within the world. So my performance, or my drag style, is called as Stranimalism, which talks about anti-beauty. So it won't be beautiful, but it will give you an effect of disgust at one or the other point in time. Why? Because there is less representation of people, or less representation of beauty. The beauty has a different kind of a word altogether. So I think something which is completely beautiful is fake. And the reason why is, you are not representing all kinds of beauty. You're just representing one kind of beauty. And for me, that was quite an important challenge which I took for myself, that, you know, I would be the drag person who will not define its own standards of beauty, but I want to represent the different kinds of beauty, you know, beauty which within a soul, or beauty within a body, so on and so forth. However, I want to bring the Indian touch. So as Launda Nach person, they would wear that, you know, the colorful ghagra and then the coat and everything else, which is Rajasthani. You know, I love the colors. The part on the apau, it's animal. It's just like putting 10 or 15 different things on your face and just assuming that it's creating an art. That's it.
Speaking about it, but this beautiful form that you have, somehow it does not penetrate to the underprivileged societies. What do you have to say on that note?
Yeah. Now, as I was telling that, you know, any kind of an art form, at one or the other point in time, we haven't made art so inclusive within the country itself. You know, art is always being considered as a commodity of privileged people. But if we, you know, especially talking about drag, if we see it, you know, if we see it with the lens of, of the origin, all these performers or all these art forms within drag art forms within India are always being performed by the local people, you know, someone who is unprivileged. But we don't consider it as art. Like, we are not paying those kind of performers to go and evolve. And how can we expect that, you know, it would become a similar line of performance? And there are no studies of drag. There is no study of Launda Nach. I wanted to learn from somebody, and I just went ahead and said, I want to learn Launda Nach. He's like, there's no format, you can learn it yourself. So that's how it is. You know, you have to make any art form as a part of an education. And irrespective, I don't have to study in an international school to learn an art. Start it with, you know, small government schools where you teach an art form. You know, call one person and ask them to teach an art form. And that's how it has to evolve. And the best part of drag is, you know, though it comes with lot of costuming, lot of, expenses, it can be as simple as just like walking normal. It's just like the viewpoint, how we exactly see it. And for making it more inclusive, what we have to do as an individual is, like, we have to talk about the art. We should make sure that we are not charging the art at one or the other point, making it commercial in its own way. You charge the art as an artist, that's completely fine. But you should not make it commercial. You know, extremely commercial is something which always being cut off from the privileged. So that need to be done. You know, any art form, you have to ensure that it's inclusive. If it's not inclusive, it's not art.
Going into the beginning of your years when you started drag, what are the different kind of challenges that you faced while performing on stages? What are the different kind of reactions that you got from the audience?
Okay, so I think one of the immediate question or thought which the audience obviously get is, okay, this person is a transgender person, because they don't know any kind of an idea of, you know, a transgender person and a drag queen, and they don't know the definition of drag, which I have to reiterate at one or the other point in time. And they think that only people from the LGBTQI community are bound to play drag, you know, like something like that. But those were the initial challenges. And I was always being questioned about why the quality of drag is not, you know, not authentic. Like, why are you making it anti-beauty? Who will come and see you if your face is disformed? Those kinds of questions were something which was always being thrown to, you know, thrown towards me. But what I thought, what the thoughts which kept on within my mind is like, there has to be the representation. If one person is not showing that kind of a representation, that severely affects the other people who are following. And I had to sometimes, you know, push myself into such kind of a situation, like, you know, irrespective of whatever the people are telling, I have to go and perform. There might be a situation like one person sitting right in front of me might throw something on my face, you know, but still I have to go and perform. So that urge of performance was something which was always there. And clearing myths, like, there were a lot of myths, especially in Hyderabad when we had started, we were not getting spaces, you know, to perform drag, and we had to jump from one place to the other place to the other place. So what we started doing is like, if you're not giving me space, I am that kind of an artist, I will go on road and I will perform. And that's what happened, you know, at one or the other point in time, it's just like a normal road, we're walking and we're just performing, like all dressed up in drag. So that's one of the reasons why they get the connection, you know, they get that kind of a point. Okay, if this person is doing this and they see that particular crowd is coming and turning out, then they have, then they understand, okay, this art is working out. So now let's go ahead and give the place. So you have to make sure that, you know, you constantly fight. I won't say fight, but constantly present. Art has to be presented. Nobody will come and, you know, give you any kind of a bounty points if you say that you are an artist, but you are not presenting your art. So that was one of the challenges. We had a good pool of 20 to 30 performers of drag in Hyderabad currently. All of them are from different professions, working in different levels. You know, somebody is a fashion designer, somebody is a makeup artist. And when we come together, it's something which we want to present, you know, which we want to bring out. And that's what works always.
Talking about drag spaces, Hyderabad last year had its first drag concert. Can you tell us something about it?
So, Drag Con, which we started doing last year. Last year in the sense June, and I think so. And the best part of Drag Con was we wanted to bring drag into a club culture. That's how the West works, you know, like club culture. Because why, firstly, in a club culture is like, club culture is something which is investing money. You have that money. If you have to talk about any kind of a fight or any kind of activism, activism also needs certain kind of an element of commerciality or finances to run those kind of activism. And these people are the ones who are affluent, who are coming and partying around, are the ones whose mind has to be changed. So I think that's something which was quite required, as a part of my initial understanding. And that's one of the reasons we reached out to one of the pub over here. And then we said, like, you know, we just want to go ahead and do something like a drag con. So con was like 10 or 15 people coming and performing together. And it worked out really well. And I think we got a good start of starting the club culture. And we see that there are more spaces like that coming up in future.
So I reckon you've also learned dance in Japan, the avant-garde and expressionism, the abstract art. So how do you fuse that abstract and the Indian classical dance and then drag and all of these? What kind of a challenge was it to fuse it and present it to an audience?
Yeah, so I won't fuse the, you know, different kinds of performances, but I take one performance as one costume. Like, you know, if I'm performing Bharatanatyam, it's one part. I'm imbibing it. If I'm paying, performing bhuto, it's just a part of me. If I'm performing drag, it's a different part. It's just like different kind of food which you eat. You know, you don't eat biryani with roti, right? It's not a good combination. So similarly, mixing two or three things randomly is not something which is recommended. But what I try to do is I go with the ideology of art. For example, if it's bhuto is avant-garde. It also talks about anti-beauty. Expressionism, it also talks about anti-beauty. We have drag, or tranimal drag. Tranimal again is an anti-beauty. So it's like the flavor of all the things which I perform is same, but I make sure that one art form is not mixing with the other, or else it would be a khichdi. So I don't want that, but I want to serve different dishes in a proper way and serve it to the correct kind of an audience. But I imbibe the flavor of each art, you know, that the journey which goes on.
On this note, I guess we'll end our conversation. But before you leave, I want to take your thoughts on what do you think of how India is taking the concept, not even concept, how India is reacting on LGBTQ communities, both on the upper level and on the underprivileged and lower level?
Sure. LGBT community, I think, you know, post 377, what happened is just 377. With that note, why I tell is because, you know, we are passing legislations, we are passing bills, which are completely fine. But LGBT community is the strongest community. For us, irrespective of whatever the sexuality is, every alternative sexuality is a part of the spectrum. It's a transgender person, it's a part of the spectrum. So it's we cannot work on divide and rule. It's like, okay, 377 ho gaya, then we'll put a transgender bill. It does not work in that way. You take every step together. So, you know, after 377, we again had a horrific trans bill, where a person is asked to go through a certain kind of a process to certify what exactly his gender is, which is stupidity. But still, you know, this is where it's lacking. You know, this perfect time where we have to come together, educate people about LGBTQI issues, talk as openly, tell the words. You know, words make a lot of changes. At least you use a word in school, somebody will pick up, you know, who would be a future leader. They will know that, you know, okay, this is a part of the world and I'm not someone who is different. So that's something which we have to do. Like, we have to go to schools, colleges, go to places and talk about LGBTQI, and that's when the change will happen. However, currently it's just, the fight is on.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Patruni, for joining us. And you can follow him on Instagram. Thank you so much, and we'll end our conversation here.